as it affects airline pilots working for American Airlines in Part 67, that's the zone that we can fight for your right not to get vaccinated, for legitimate exemptions, legitimate concerns.
Welcome to the latest edition of 5x5. This is APA Communications Director Greg Overman, and with me are APA President Captain Eric Ferguson, Captain John Owens, who serves as the Deputy Chair of the Communications Committee, and Senior Director of Legal Affairs, Jim Clark. Today's topic, the forthcoming COVID-19 vaccine mandates and APA's efforts to secure an alternate means of compliance for pilots. Gentlemen, take it away.
Thank you, Mr. Overman. And I'd like to say welcome and thank you for joining us on this podcast today, Captain Ferguson, and our legal counsel, Mr. James Clark. Hot topic. As we are all aware, on September 9th, President Biden mandated vaccines for federal workers, large employers, and healthcare staff. Captain Ferguson, I'd like to have you address the membership on this issue.
Okay, thank you for that, John. Since the rumor of and the actual revealing of a plan to enact a vaccine mandate, we have been getting input from the membership, and we've received even more input since September 9th. There's little doubt. Some of it seems misguided. Some of it seems to misunderstand APA and its role in people's personal lives and its role as it pertains to their rights as a citizen of the United States. We don't do that. We don't fight for your unfettered freedom of speech in the workplace. There's just certain things you cannot say and do on aircraft PA that we can protect you from. Your First Amendment rights at work only go so far. Your freedom of expression only goes so far at work. All right. We have a uniform for a reason. You may not wear a leopard leotard as a uniform. We just can only do so much to protect you if you're going to insist on that. Likewise, we don't fight for let me just give you a couple other examples. We don't fight for about whatever might be an appropriate curriculum in your school district. That's a hot topic. That's not what APA does. It's out of our lane. Doesn't pertain to your job here at American Airlines. And also, what we don't fight for is your unfettered right to medical freedom. We keep hearing that. That's not what we do. That would require APA to take all sorts of positions that it has no business taking. What we do, however, is fight for your job and your ability to do that job. And in the case of airline pilots, it's extremely unique in that we all have physical standards under Part 67 of the FARs. That's where the argument for or against a vaccine, and that's where it lies here for APA pilots. So to that end, we've begun a government affairs initiative encouraging Uncle Sam policymakers, lawmakers to account for that unique aspect of our livelihoods, the requirement to hold a flight physical. Now, 70% of our pilots thus far have chosen to take the vaccine. Either they wanted the vaccine or they find that it doesn't present enough risk for them. They look at the science they've looked at, says, hey, we're good to go. About another 30%, for whatever reason, at this point have not taken the vaccine. And I suspect that perhaps 10 or 15% of that 30% may never take it no matter what. And their concerns may have to do with how it makes them feel as a citizen of the US, but more likely than not, in most cases, they have legitimate concerns, a legitimate basis. There are legitimate exemptions permitted and allowed under the law, and there always have been. But as it affects airline pilots working for American Airlines in Part 67, that's the zone that we can fight for your right not to get vaccinated, for legitimate exemptions, legitimate concerns. That's business between you and your personal healthcare provider. That should be your choice. So any mandate should come with reasonable alternative means of compliance. So we've launched a government affairs initiative couching the argument just there. We are not pro or anti-vaccine. We are not anti-vaccine mandate necessarily as it pertains to everybody else. But as it pertains to your job, you need to have the option to not get vaccinated to preserve your Part 67 requirements to preserve your job here. But that also puts, if you're not vaccinated or do not already have natural immunity, that could put others at additional risk. So in our world, in aviation, we have multiple areas that we use alternative means of compliance. And that's an absolute requirement for our pilots at American Airlines to have, and frankly, across the industry. Congress just invested a tremendous amount of money to keep our critical infrastructure in place. And during that time, especially in the early days with the unknowns of this pre-vaccine, our pilots as critical, essential workers under critical infrastructure shouldered all sorts of risks in the face of many uncertainties. We carried letters around allowing us to travel when people were told to shelter in place, okay? And we survived. The multi-layered approach that keeps airplanes are now known to be, the data set is huge, to be one of the safest places you can actually be. Thanks to HEPA filters, modern filtration, modern airlines are wonders, hospital-grade air quality in that environment. So we already work in a unique environment. That's where we spend most of our time, okay? We already use these additional multi-layered approaches, including masks and aircraft sterilization and cleanliness and things for the passengers, as well as cleaning the flight deck. We know we can do this. We know we can do it safely. An alternative means of compliance must be made available for our pilots. And if that's an inconvenient weekly test, whatever it takes, that the law, as far as we know from what we've heard, might there might not be exemptions for large companies or government contractors. Even if those exemptions don't exist for those companies, it should and must exist for pilots, as they must keep their flight physicals and they've got to be ready to fly. And that's the common ground we have. Putting aside your personal view of culture and politics and everything else, that's the common ground. That's where we will fight the fight. And we are already doing that, and it's well underway.
Thank you, Captain Ferguson. That was a great discussion on that. One of the things that has been consistent throughout the pandemic is that there's been often little or no guidance, as to how we are to survive in this environment. And I think the association has done a great job of, filling those gaps. In this case, I know that Mr. CEO, Mr. Parker, and yourself have continuously said that you believe that it's an individual's choice as to whether or not being vaccinated. However, with the mandate coming down, it does beg the legal side of the house. And I'd like Mr. Jim Clark to speak to that for us.
Well, thanks, John. So as Captain Ferguson referenced, we are right now still in a wait and see mode as to what actually is going to come down as a result of the announcement that President Biden made on September 9th. We are supposed to get more guidance any day now as to not only what the respective definitions and scope of the executive orders are going to be, but what exemptions and what other possible means of compliance may be included in them. It is, I think, a foregone conclusion that American Airlines will be covered one way or the other based on the announcement that was made on the 9th, whether as a federal contractor or as an employer of more than 100 employees. So once that determination is made, we will have a better understanding as to, one, what the actual requirements are going to be, what the timeline for implementation might be, and what exemptions or other alternative means might be offered to individuals who are either unable or unwilling to get vaccinated. Right now, it is pure speculation. I mean, the announcements were clear in that the expectation is that federal employees, federal contractors will be required to impose across the board mandates without any testing option, whereas the expectation is private sector employers who employ more than 100 employees and are covered by the OSHA rule, the expectation is there is going to be a weekly testing option for those employees who are unable or unwilling to be vaccinated in order to comply. So there are a lot of unanswered questions still at this point. But from a legal perspective, I will say that we have been tracking this since long before September 9th in terms of the legalities and the lawfulness of employers mandating vaccine programs. There is a well-established body of case law on it. And as you know, with United and many other employers, there were numerous and large employers who had imposed these mandate programs prior to the September 9th announcement by President Biden. So this is not it's not new ground for purposes of a legal analysis. The distinction here is that is that now it's being mandated by the federal government. So that is the legal distinction, but the actual programs themselves imposed by employers, they have been almost uniformly held to be lawful.
Very good. Thank you. And that's the differentiation there, is that that is the case. It doesn't talk to our position. And I've had the pleasure of standing next to Captain Ferguson recently at the Miami Concourse conversation, where he had done a very good job of explaining this. But before we move on to the discussion of why United differs from us, which I know Captain Ferguson is very passionate about, I would like to go back to one area. And that is that this is a very difficult situation, in that if you have somebody who has a vaccination card, okay, we know what that looks like. We know what happens. We have the protocol in yellow ways we've written of what happens if you're exposed, you get sick, you so on. If in fact, medically, it can be medically proven that someone has had a natural immunity, therein lies a position, is, are they then going to be treated the same as somebody with a vaccine card? And then there's the third part, where you cannot get vaccinated, or absolutely are not willing to get vaccinated and have not been sick. Captain Ferguson, I know you've spoke to this before. I'd like to give you an opportunity to tell the membership on what you feel on this.
Well, certainly. And again, that comes back to pilots, Part 67, and an alternative means of compliance. I mean, the science, which has rapidly evolved here over time, we're learning what we can. The scientific community is learning what it can. At the same time, we just don't know that it's necessarily wise for somebody that's had a recent infection, for instance, to recently recovered to go get a vaccine. I mean, this is continually evolving, and due to our requirements and the fact that in an instant you could permanently lose your ability to operate a commercial airliner, we just have to be extra vigilant and extra careful, and again, must have an alternative means of compliance. But I want to go back just for a moment to some of the sound offs we've received, and this notion that APA must fight to the death for the handful of people that say this is un-American, I will never, ever, ever get hyperbole, but often I hear the death jab, and that APA will violate its duty to that individual if we don't go all the way, whatever it takes, to both keep that person's job and to fight for them. I will tell you, what about the other 70% that at this point have already gotten the vaccine, again, find it acceptable or wanted the vaccine, thinking that that works best for them and their family? APA owes a duty to everyone. And in a situation, this is one of the reasons for an alternative means of compliance. In a situation where we became instantly short, let's say 10 or 15% on manning, this company is, the viability of this company would be at risk. And I owe a duty to the 70% of people that said, you know what, this works for me, I've gotten the jab. We owe a duty to everybody. So I'm not going to allow a handful of noisy folks with 10 or 15% that says, I'm walking out of here if you don't prevent me from having to get this shot, from holding everybody else and their whole careers and their families in jeopardy as well financially. We have to balance that. That's part of running a democracy under the Railway Labor Act. That's part of the duty of fair representation. We constantly must balance the desires and rights of every individual with that of the collective good of the group. So keep in mind, when you come to me and say, fight forever or you're violating my DFR, I'm going to say, what about everybody else that's got to work here and provide for their families that found the shot acceptable for them? So don't give me that garbage. We're going to move on and fight and find the reasonable solution that works for everybody here.
Excellent. So I'll remind you, I know you wanted to speak to this too. Let's talk about why it's different at United possibly than it is here.
Okay, I think that's a great question. So first off, from what we know, United is far and away the most vaccinated airline. Now, every airline, every company, every neighborhood, every school has its different culture. So number one, perhaps their culture permitted it. Number two, the approach they took. Number three, and most importantly for United Airlines pilots, they have a much better safety net. All right. There is no question that we have the most lagging, probably the industry lagging long-term disability program. So from the beginning, when it became evident that a vaccine was soon to be approved and actually available, we decided we would seek an LOA that both compensated our pilots for the no-fly period that was required, if you will, because they couldn't exercise their pilot certificates, and better protected them if something were to go wrong. So LOA 2102 does that. It provides compensation for the vaccine, and not for the vaccine, but for the no-fly period where you couldn't exercise your privileges. It didn't go far enough. The company was unwilling to invest more to improve our LTD to that of our industry peers. And that, I believe, is one of the reasons that we do not have the take rate of other carriers, though we are by no means the industry laggard. We're not as high as we ought to be. Well, American Airlines management and its reluctance to cure our situation here with regard to long-term disability must be partly responsible. As you know, in the last few months, it has invested hundreds of millions of dollars in foreign carriers, number one, or announced intentions to do so. Number two, hundreds of millions of dollars to entice our wholly owned pilots. And again, good on them. I'm glad they have that agreement, but I've said that money would be more well spent at American Airlines. We said that in another podcast, and it's true. And one of the ways it could do that would be to cure our area of benefits that lag so badly. So it's well established that the fear of loss is more powerful than the hope of gain. And our pilots, the fear of loss and the loss of their medical certification on the backdrop of this pandemic and possible side effects of the vaccine is greater here because the loss is so much greater. Our safety net is so much worse. So in a lot of ways, when American Airlines says, how do we do a better job of getting more of our pilots vaccinated? A lot of that, I would say, go look in the mirror and look at your bank account and say, you know, maybe we should invest more over here because our pilots are more likely to get vaccinated, I believe, that those that remain, if they knew they had a softer landing ahead, if something did go wrong. But they've invested everywhere else instead when they could have just as well invested in the pilots that fly for American Airlines today.
Yeah, keep American dollars at American Airlines. I know that's something you've said in the past, and I totally agree with that. I'd like to go back to Jim Clark for a minute and on the subject of exemptions, because we hear a lot about exemptions, and that's something that a union in this environment, should something come, is something we will do and talk about and make sure that our members are fully represented. So, Jim, if you could talk to that, that would be great.
Sure. So the law as it currently stands is that there are recognized exemptions. The EEOC has recognized specific exemptions that must be afforded to eligible employees who cannot be vaccinated due to either medical reasons or due to sincerely held religious beliefs. Those are exemptions that the EEOC has recognized and that are required of all private sector employers. So the announcement from President Biden on September 9th, while it did not specify the precise details of how these vaccine mandate programs were to be rolled out, it did specify that they had to be rolled out with all lawful exemptions included. So the expectation is once we get more information that there will be recognized exemptions that will be required to be offered by all employers. That's a matter of law. That's not a matter of negotiation or bargaining. The company, in this case, American Airlines or any other company, private sector company, doesn't have the discretion to say we're going to disregard those lawful exemptions in imposing a vaccine mandate program. The question of exemptions is not something that we need to or should even bargain over. That is what the law is. And again, this is a distinction between unable and unwilling, right? The people who are unable may be entitled to an exemption. People who are unwilling, there is no legal exemption recognized for somebody who just says, I don't want to do this.
Thank you, Mr. Clark. That's excellent information. I think the members will really appreciate that discussion. Have anything else to add on this, Captain Ferguson?
Certainly. As I had mentioned at the beginning here today, we are undertaking lobbying efforts to ensure that we have an alternative means of compliance here that will allow our pilots to continue to operate in this environment and our airline and the industry as a whole, which Congress saw fit again to invest billions and billions of dollars throughout the pandemic here. The unique facets of our job require alternative means of compliance, so we are going to do our best. That is underway now. It's a government affairs effort. And at the same time, we have maintained and will maintain that the implementation of these things as well is subject to collective bargaining, and we will do the best we can as we face these new and novel challenges that come at us day in and day out as part of this pandemic. But we've survived so far, we'll survive this as well. And we're looking for your support. Don't forget, our Government Affairs Committee, the Political Action Committee, have been vital to our survival to this point, will be vital to our survival going forward, and for every other thing that is legitimately affects your career at American Airlines. So give to the PAC. I say it all the time, as if your career depends on it, because it does. Thank you very much, John. Thank you, Mr. Clark.
Captain Ferguson, Captain Owens, and Mr. Clark, thank you so much. That's an excellent overview of where things stand on this issue right now and where we can expect APA's focus to be in the days to come. Thanks to all for listening. That's all for today.